know we have a lot of folks with family in town and some folks missing this evening, but grateful you're here. We're looking forward to a wonderful time of prayer and praise together. But let's start our evening together with prayer. You join me as we begin our time together. Our Father, we are overwhelmed by your goodness to us. Thank you even for this last week, for the opportunity that many of us had to have our families together and, Lord, to enjoy your goodness to us. Thank you that you have, even as Paul so beautifully puts it, you have filled our lives with food and gladness, satisfying our hearts with good things. Lord, thank you for the reminder even that we've seen in Psalm 103 that you have filled our lives with good. And so, Lord, it's not difficult for us to gather again as your people to praise you in song, to give you thanks, to worship you, and to lift our prayers to you, both our prayers of praise and our prayers of petition. Thank you for the joy of knowing you. Thank you for the relationships we enjoy because we know you as Father and your Son as Lord. Lord, receive our worship this evening, both in song and in prayer, and may our own hearts be stirred and warmed and reminded of the importance of our communion, our relationship, our fellowship with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do welcome you back tonight. Tonight's a little unusual, as was mentioned this morning. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a long time, but I'm looking forward to. Before we do that, though, let me just say welcome. If you're our guest, you have come on an unusual night. We're normally meeting to sing and then study God's Word together. Tonight is a prayer and praise night, but we're glad you're here. If you are a guest, I'd love for you to come down afterward, introduce yourself. I'll be down here in the front. Would love to meet you, but we're grateful you're here this evening. Just a couple of reminders from the announcements that Josh made this morning, especially about the Christmas concert. That's coming up on 2 days, Saturday, December 9th, at both 3 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, and then again on Sunday, the 10th, at 6 p.m. Encourage you to come. Encourage you to bring others with you. Invite folks to join you. Make it an opportunity both to encourage believers that you know as well as to reach out to those who maybe aren't in Christ. They might come and attend a wonderful concert of Christmas music where they may not be as willing to come to a service, a normal service, but they'll hear the gospel sung. I'll share a brief gospel message at the end. So a great opportunity for you to use it to that end and hope you will. Also, those of you who are a part of the Heritage Fellowship Banquet, just to encourage you to sign up before the day is done. The registration is online, but it closes tonight at midnight. So if you haven't done that yet, don't do it during the service, but right after the service, you can go online and do that and plan to be a part of that wonderful time of fellowship with others in our church family. Well, as I mentioned, tonight is different in that we are going to combine prayer and praise together. And we're going to follow in sort of this structure, just to kind of give you an outline of where we're headed. There are a lot of ways you can do this. We've done it before where we followed the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. But what we're going to do tonight is instead we're going to follow what's called the ACTS model. Some of you are familiar with that acronym, ACTS. Each of the letters stands for a different part of prayer. First of all, the A is for adoration. Just simply adoring God, celebrating God for who He is in His person. Then there is the C is for confession, confession of sins. And then the T is for thanksgiving, appropriate to the season, expressing our thanks to God for His goodness to us. And then the S is for supplication, lifting up our prayers and our requests to God. So ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And as we go through each of those parts of our service, each of them will include both praise and prayer. So we'll start each one of those sections with music. Seth will lead us, and the band will lead us in an appropriate song or two, touching on that theme. And then I'll come back up and remind us of what this is about, read a couple of scriptures together, and then we'll pray together. For adoration and thanksgiving, I'm going to ask, in each case, one of our elders to come and lead us in those prayers. For confession, I thought about doing that publicly with a mic on the stand. No, I didn't. Just kidding. Just a joke. A bad joke, okay? But no, we want to do that individually and silently. Just have a time for prayer of confession, each of us where we are. And then for supplication, what we're going to do is we'll, at the very end, after we sing together in the supplication part, we'll divide up into small groups, even in this room, small groups of 4 to 6, and have a short time to share specific needs with one another, and then to pray in those small groups. And then we'll close the evening together with a song. So that's where we're headed. Just wanted to give you a sort of a map. So we're going to begin with adoration. And so many of the scriptures celebrate God for who he is, for his character. This is what adoration is. It should be a significant part of our praying. And so we're going to begin that, as we will do with each section, with singing together. Seth is going to lead us in some songs that just celebrate God and his character and who he is. Seth.
Let's stand together. We'll sing.
Come let us adore him. Behold.
Well, when you think about adoration, when you think about exalting God for his goodness and his greatness, there are so many places in Scripture that we could turn. As we were singing that last song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the ultimate fulfillment of his glory in his return, my mind went to Revelation 4 and 5, where you have those scenes of all of heaven adoring God, and then in chapter 4, the Father, and adoring the Son, the Lord Jesus, in chapter 5. But I want us just to, before we pray together, to turn to two of the greatest expressions, I think, of adoration in the Scripture. Let's start in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is David near the end of his life, just as his son Solomon is becoming king. They've taken the offering for the building of the temple. And this is David's response. And it is a prayer filled with adoration. This will give you a great picture of what adoration in prayer looks like. 1 Chronicles 29, and notice verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, Yours is the dominion, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And he goes on to talk about God's glory shown even in the generosity of the people. The people gave, but all of that was the result of God. So one of the greatest passages of adoration and exaltation of God in the Scripture. But I want us to turn to Psalm 145, which is another favorite of mine, where God is extolled. He's extolled as David does so often. This is the last of the Psalms of David. And here he exalts God, he adores God for his greatness and his goodness. So many of the Psalms deal with the greatness of God and the goodness of God. Now, perhaps you've heard it said that everything we needed to know in terms of categories about theology we learned in kindergarten. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. You know, the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And here it is. Let's read it together. You follow along. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall, and he raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Yahweh keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of Yahweh, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. What a great psalm of adoration. I'm going to ask Milt Powell, one of our elders, to come and lead us in a prayer of adoration of our God for who he is, for his gracious saving character, as we have sung and as we've read together. Milt, come and lead us.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow before you tonight to acknowledge and to affirm that you are the only true and living God. There is no other. There is none like you. You're in a category of your own. You are perfect and infinite in all your being. We affirm your transcendent greatness and your majesty. Your word says, many, O Lord, are the works of your hand. I'm sorry. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If you declare and speak of them, they would be numerous, too numerous to count. Father, we adore you for the immutable or unchanging nature of your character. The way that you are, you have always been. And the way that you have always been, you forever will be. And because of the immutable nature of your character, we can trust you because we know that what you say you will do, you will never change. You are unchanging and are not subject to change. There is no one like that. Father, we are amazed at your independence and self-existing nature. You have absolutely need of nothing to sustain your existence. You do not depend on anything to exist. You exist of yourself. Father, we are amazed at that. We cannot fully or even begin to comprehend something like that. It is far beyond us. And all we can do is stand in awe and amazement of your greatness. Father, we admire you for the great wisdom you displayed in creating this universe. When we look about your creation, we exclaim with the psalmist who said, "How manifold or how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. Nothing came into being apart from you bringing it into being." Father, we exalt you for your infinite wisdom in your redemptive plan, a plan whereby you take rebellious and corrupt sinners like us and restore us to a right standing before you and your law. Father, through the work of your Son and our faith in him and our repentance toward you, our trust in him and him alone, you have granted his righteousness to us. You have imputed it or credited it to us. And now we stand justified before you. We're no longer guilty before you because of the great work of your Son in your great and wise redemptive plan. In his incarnation, in the incarnation of your Son, his perfect life and substitutionary death and glorious resurrection, you're able to make rebel sinners. You take rebel sinners and make them sons and daughters of your holy being. Father, we are in awe and amazed at that. And Father, when we look about ourselves and see your abundant goodness on display all around us, we are made to stand in awe and worship you for who you are. We worship and praise you even tonight for who you are. May you be well pleased with the worship we bring and the adoration that we bring to you even tonight. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, we extol you for who you are. You are our incomparable God, and indeed you are our Father because of the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would accept our worship this evening because we bring it in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Milt. Well, as we turn to the theme of confession, we want to stand together and sing again about his mercy. Our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. His mercy is more. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Mercy is more. riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the stronger than dark.
Maybe seated.
The Christian life begins with confession. As we confess our sins and seek the Lord's forgiveness, we saw it in Isaiah 55 this morning. We seek His forgiveness from our sins. Jesus put it in these words in the beginning of the Beatitudes. He said that, "Blessed are the beggars in spirit, for to them belongs the kingdom of heaven." We begin as beggars, spiritually bankrupt. And the next beatitude is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's talking about mourning over our sin. This is how we come into the kingdom. We come in as beggars, mourning over our sin. And we experience forgiveness. Once for all forgiveness at the courtroom of God's justice. But as believers, we continue to sin. That sin is covered in the sense of Jesus paid for that sin. It's forgiven in our justification in the courtroom of God's justice. And yet, even as believers, we still come seeking the Lord's forgiveness. Not now as our judge, but as our Father. In fact, Jesus likens the two to, in John 13, to when we're saved, it's like a bath for our souls. When we come daily confessing our sin, it's like having our feet washed. You only need to be bathed once spiritually. And then you need your feet washed. In fact, Jesus taught us, didn't he, in the Lord's Prayer, to include these elements. Adoration, he said, we're to pray, "Hallowed be your name." And when it comes to confession, he says in Matthew 6:12, pray like this, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." We studied 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how? What does confession of sin as believers look like? The answer comes in the penitential psalms, the psalms that are cries for forgiveness. There are a number of them, but three of them just jump out at me and are regularly the pattern for my own confession. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, and Psalm 130. But let's read together Psalm 51. Look at this great example of confession and a prayer for pardon from David. The caption, the title tells us that it was for the choir director, so this is a public example of how to confess a private sin. This is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Notice what biblical confession looks like. Verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Those first two verses teach us that we are to plead the character of God when it comes to forgiveness. Notice what he says. "Lord, I'm pleading your grace. Give me what I don't deserve. Do good to me, even though I deserve exactly the opposite, and do this because of your steadfast love, because you've committed to me to love me, and do it according to the greatness of your compassion." He goes on in verse 3 to say that confession not only includes pleading the character of God, but accepting full responsibility for our sins. Verse 3, "For I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." That's not an excuse for his sin. That's accepting full responsibility. What he's saying is, my sin with Bathsheba wasn't an anomaly. It's not that I'm essentially a good person that made a bad decision. David says, I'm a sinner since conception. I'm a sinner since birth. This is who I am. He's accepting full responsibility. That's what we have to do. Plead the character of God, accept full responsibility for our sin. But then I love verse 6 and following, because here he says, that we are to have faith, we're to have confidence, we're to hope in God's character and in his promises. Notice how he puts it. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being and in the hidden part. Notice what he says. You will make me know wisdom. Lord, if you purify me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and when you wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. But he goes on in verse 10 to say that our confession of sin ought to also include a desire for real change and holiness. It's not just about getting forgiveness. It's about wanting to be different. Notice verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. And beginning in verse 14, he says, God, once you have forgiven me, I commit to worship. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. It's a commitment of David in the Old Testament context to worship. You forgive me, O God, and I will unite my heart in worship. This is a pattern for confession. Let's take time now to do that. I want each of us to do it individually, so I'm going to give you just a few minutes of silent individual confession following this model. And then I'll close our time of confession together. You take a moment. Don't be afraid of the silence, but also don't sit in silence. It's time for you to confess your sins to the Lord. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. That in the courtroom of your justice, the gavel has come down once and forever in our justification. And you've declared us not only not guilty, but righteous with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Father, we sin as believers. And when we sin, you have commanded us, our Lord has taught us to come regularly, to come daily seeking your forgiveness as our Father. Lord, you've bathed our souls in salvation. Help us to come every day looking to have our feet washed from picking up the dirt of the world that we walk through. And so, Lord, we do that tonight. And with David, we come to you, Lord, acknowledging the terrible nature of our sin. Lord, we ask you, like David did, to blot out the record of our criminal offenses. Lord, clean the record. We recognize that our sin has been like a stain on our souls. And Lord, we come asking you to clean out the stain, to cleanse it entirely, to wash it out of our souls. Father, we plead only your character. Lord, we don't deserve your forgiveness, but you are gracious. You do love us with a steadfast love. You are compassionate. So, Lord, show us mercy and forgive our sins against you. Father, we take full responsibility. The sins that we commit are not others' fault. They're not the dysfunctional families we grew up in. They're not our personalities. Father, it's not your fault. It's not the fault of others who provoked us. Lord, our sins are our own fault, and we accept full and complete responsibility before you. And that these things are not an aberration, but, Lord, apart from the redeeming work of your Spirit, they are who we are. And so, Lord, we come hoping in your forgiveness. We confess our sins individually to you. Lord, the sins of commission, the things we have done that you command us not to do. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins of thought, for lusting, for coveting, as the commandment puts it, for desiring what isn't ours in whatever way that displays itself. Lord, forgive us for the way that we have thought about you, for lowly thoughts of you, for having other things that are more important to us than you, for having other gods. Lord, for worshiping you in unacceptable ways, for not respecting you in our thoughts and words and actions as we should. Lord, forgive us for not committing ourselves wholeheartedly to 6 days of work and to a day of worship. Father, forgive us for not respecting and honoring those who you've placed in authority over us. Lord, forgive us as well for not doing all that we can to respect and preserve the lives of others. Lord, by doing foolhardy, careless things, by driving recklessly, by, Lord, doing things that are unnecessarily an endangerment to ourselves or to others. Lord, forgive us for harboring bitterness and hatred in our hearts toward others. Lord, forgive us for not being pure as our Lord Jesus was pure sexually. Lord, cleanse our minds and hearts and make sure that our behavior reflects the purity of his behavior. Lord, forgive and cleanse us. Father, don't let us be like the Gentiles, as Paul reminds us, the unbelievers, the pagans who give themselves over to sexual sin like animals. But may we know how to possess our bodies in sanctification and honor. Father, we pray that you would help us to always work hard, not to take from others. But Lord, forgive us for forever stealing from our employers with the misuse of our time or the things that belong to our employer, or not being wholehearted, not being fully committed to working hard for the advancement of that organization or business. Lord, forgive us for not working hard so we can give generously to others. And Lord, again, forgive us for the temptation to be dishonest, to deceive in how we present the stories of ourselves, to make ourselves look better than we are, to intentionally use our words and misrepresent the actions and attitudes of others to hurt them, to harm them, to pull them down, to exalt ourselves. And Father, forgive us for internalizing all of those sins. Forgive and cleanse us, O God. Our hope is in you. If you cleanse us, O God, we will be clean. If you forgive us, those sins will be gone forever in the ocean of the forgiveness purchased at the cross. And so, Lord, we come acknowledging our sins and asking your forgiveness through the Savior's work. And in his name, amen. Well, we want to turn our thoughts to Thanksgiving. Part of our prayers involve not mere adoration, but even as we've seen in Psalm 103, it involves exalting God's goodness to us, his many benefits. Let's sing together.
Let's stand.
The Lord has
will reign. I know that you are good, and this is the day you made. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son. You drank the bitter cup reserved for.
Thanksgiving was such a crucial part, even of Old Testament worship. The choirs sang songs of thanksgiving. One of the sacrifices could be formed into an expression of thanksgiving to God for His goodness. So many of the psalms are psalms of thanksgiving. We've been looking at Psalm 103, which gives thanks to God for His person, for all that He is. Turn with me to Psalm 100, which is a call to thanksgiving. A reminder that when we come into God's presence, whether the Jews did so physically at the temple or whether we do so spiritually in worship, it begins with thanksgiving. A very familiar psalm, but you follow along as I read. A psalm for thanksgiving, the title is. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that Yahweh himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For Yahweh is good. His steadfast love is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Again, we're called to praise God for his greatness, that he's God, and for his goodness. I love the first few verses there, which remind us of God as creator, of God as the one who in his providence provides all things, as we're the sheep of his pasture. But I love that expression in verse 3 of God's sovereign salvation. It is he who has made us, that it's God who has made us his people. We haven't made ourselves his people. He has intervened and done that. This is a cause for thanksgiving. Brian Chandler, one of our elders, comes now to lead us in an expression, a prayer of thanksgiving, celebrating who God is and what he's done for us in Christ.
Well, good evening. So if you were with us this morning, our pastor gave us a great pattern for Thanksgiving. In his sermon this morning, he went through an outline of Psalm 103 and three great reasons for corporate praise and thanksgiving. I couldn't think of a better way to pray through that psalm tonight together as we thank the Lord in this great season of Thanksgiving. So, as you bow your heads, pray with me silently as I pray through this psalm and remind you of our pattern for thanking the Lord from Psalm 103. Father, we come this morning, Lord, so thankful that you have an unchanging nature. That, Father, you are the Savior of sinners. That you perform righteous deeds and justice for all who are oppressed. That, Father, you have made yourself known to us through the revelation of your word, and you have given us the sum of all of your goodnesses, that you are a Lord who is compassionate, that you're gracious, that you're slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Father, we are so thankful that we are the recipients of that compassion, that we are the recipients of your grace, and of your patience, and of your steadfast love. And Father, we are thankful for your unchanging ways, because you are slow to anger, and because you are quick to be reconciled. You will not always strive with us, nor will you keep his anger forever, but you have allowed the time that we might respond to your word, that we might respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit for our sin. Father, it's through your grace that you have brought us to yourself through your Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us from our sin and reconciled us to you. You've not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For if you have done that, Lord, we would be destroyed from this earth. But instead, Lord, you have made us your children. You have given us new life. For as high as the heavens above, so great is your loving kindness towards those who fear you. And Father, you have made us one of those who fear you. And Lord, because you're gracious, you don't credit our sins to us, but you credit our sins to Christ, and that our sins might be as far from the east is from the west. So far has he removed, you have removed our transgressions from us. For that, Lord, we are so thankful that we are not paying the penalty for our own sin. But Father, you have accomplished the forgiveness of our sin through your Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, because we are recipients of your compassion, of your great love, you treat us as your children. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so Lord, you have compassion on us who fear you. For you know our frame. You are mindful that we are but dust. But thirdly, Father, we thank you for your unchanging love. Lord, our lives are brief here. As man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so we flourish. And the wind has passed over us, it is no more, and in its place acknowledge it no longer. Father, our days are brief here, but we are recipients of your unchanging love during these days, your eternal love. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Lord, we're so thankful that we are recipients of your eternal love. And that, Father, as your children, we have a future inheritance in heaven to be with you that we look so forward to. Father, we're thankful that you have established your throne in the heavens and that you are a Father, a God who's the sovereign and rules over all. Father, we want to bless the Lord, mighty in strength. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Father, we're thankful that you have given us the privilege of living here and being able to do your will. You have revealed your will to us, and you have given us the ability and the wisdom to accomplish that here on earth. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. So much to be thankful for this season. Well, as we turn to the supplication part of our night, let me invite you to stand once again. This song is a model for a prayer of asking God for things. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Let's sing it.
Presence.
When it comes to our prayers, the Lord taught us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, because in Matthew chapter 6, we're told the categories of our prayers. There are six petitions. The first three petitions are all about God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The final three petitions of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 provide the framework for our petitions. The fifth of the sixth we already dealt with in verse 12. It's the prayer of confession. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. But when it comes to what we ask God for beyond confession of sin, it falls into two categories, and they're both here in this prayer. First of all, we pray for physical needs. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. That's saying, God, give us and all of the others that we pray for all that we need to sustain physical life in this world. It includes everything from jobs to food to health to recovery from illness. Everything we need for life in the world. That's one category of our prayers. That's where most people spend all of their time. We should spend time there. But there's another category that most people neglect. Look at verse 13. Here's the sixth category of prayer, and it's praying for our spiritual needs and the spiritual needs of others. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is a prayer for sanctification, for spiritual protection and sanctification. God, make us increasingly more like Jesus Christ. So when you think about praying, when you think about asking God for what you and others need, let them fall into those two categories. Lord, give us everything we need to sustain life in this world. Give us this day our daily bread. And give us everything we need to sustain our spiritual lives. Cause us to grow in likeness to your Son. Those are the categories for our prayers as we turn to petitions tonight. Now, here's how we're going to handle this part of our time together. I'm going to ask you to break into small groups, 4 to 6 people. Just sort of group in just a moment when I dismiss you. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to take no more than 1 minute each sharing a request. So no long-winded requests. Share your need, whatever that is. And then we'll give about 5 minutes to that. I'll give you, it'll be a countdown timer on the screen so you kind of know what you're dealing with. We want to keep this moving, all right? Because prayer requests can get bogged down and we lose time to pray. So we're going to keep the request part moving, and then we'll transition to time for prayer, and then I'll close us when you've had time to pray in your small group. So go ahead, section off into 4 to 6 people each, and then begin taking about 1 minute each and share whatever requests you want to share with each other. The countdown timer will begin in just a minute once you've had a chance to get into your groups, and then we'll pray after that. All right, if you haven't already, if you would transition to now praying in your group, and several of you will have an opportunity to pray, and then I'll close us all at the appropriate time. So go ahead now, if you would, and transition to prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God who hears, that when the righteous cry, you hear. Lord, we're so grateful to know that when we lift up our hearts or our voices to you in prayer, when we genuinely address you as our God, that you hear our prayers. And so, Father, you've heard the prayers that we've lifted up to you tonight. You've heard the requests of your people, the requests for the physical needs of this life, as well as the requests for the spiritual needs for our souls and for those we love. Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers, and that according to your perfect and all-wise will, you would answer in your way and in your time, according to your perfect purpose. Lord, thank you that you have commanded us to cast our care upon you because you care for us. And so we do that tonight, collectively as your people, even as we do so individually every day. Lord, thank you that you hear our praise and you hear our prayers. And thank you that you've heard us even tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish time together in song.
Let's stand as we sing. Have a wonderful week.
cross have taken all to